In the beginning, in the form of God, with just a word you sang creation's song. But when by sin humanity was marred, you took on flesh to save a world gone wrong. At Calvary, the soldiers chose the nails to fasten you upon the cruel tree. The hammer drove into your sinless hands. The nails you chose to pay sin's penalty.
You are the Christ, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name sin's curse by rising from the dead, parading captives forth in victory. You freed my soul and crushed the serpent's head. And when one day redemption is complete,
I gaze at last upon your face unveiled. My voice shall echo through eternity. In spite of me, your saving grace prevailed.
You are the Christ, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name praise.
You are my life, my all.
You are my life, my all.
You are my life, my all.
And I belong to you.
Lauren, that was wonderful. Open your Bible, if you have one today, to Acts chapter 24. Acts 24, if you're getting new to your Bible, you have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then you come to the book of Acts, chapter 24. And I'm going to read a couple of verses out of this passage for us this morning and bring a message. And I really do appreciate each and every one of you being here. If you don't have a Bible, I don't think it'll be that difficult to follow along. I'll just be preaching right down through a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 24. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, join me now. If not, that's fine. We're going to read verses 24 and 25. So follow along, Acts 24, beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" I want to speak for a moment on the convenient season. You see there when he said, "I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I don't think the message would be hard to follow and understand. Let me ask you to do this now for the next, probably 35 minutes. Just sit in the service and let's try to keep the distractions to a minimum. And, you know, we can sit and watch ball games and movies and things for a long time without having to get up and go somewhere. So if we all just stay in here, listen carefully, I hope this will be a blessing and a help to many this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We've sung so many songs this morning about how wonderful your love is, how wonderful Jesus is. Jesus saves. God, it's been a great morning. Many, many guests here today. Touches my heart. I need your help. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help and encouragement to people. Holy Spirit of God, would you fill both speaker and listeners now so that we can all benefit from the time we're going to be together in this service that remains. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'm sure you've heard of Gallup polls. Well, Gallup takes a poll every so often as to what is the most favorite season of the year. Now, in my research, I found that this poll about the favorite seasons of the year is really few. They're really few and far between. I think there's only been three of them in the last 70 years. So it's not a high priority on Mr. Gallup's list. All right. Spring has been the favorite the last three times the poll was taken. This time of the year, autumn has come in second in two of the three polls. The one exception was the one taken in 1960 when summer took second place. Now, not surprisingly, winter has been dead last in every poll taken about favorite seasons of the year, no matter the demographics involved that make up the poll. Now, most people, or many people, I should say, would choose this time of the year as their favorite season. The leaves are changing colors from bright gold to bright red and bright red and bright gold. I mentioned on Wednesday night here that the pastor and his wife and their children took Joyce and me to Sedona, Arizona last Tuesday and drove us up through there. And they kept saying, oh, if you were just 1 week later, if you were just 1 week later, you'd see the colors of the trees brilliant and everything. And this time, I don't know if you've kept your eyes open. It's been very pretty around here the last little while. And the warm days and the cool nights are enjoyable. For those in the Midwest, harvest is always an exciting season. I love it. You know, the combines are making their way through the crops and the tractors, hauling wagons loaded with corn and soybeans and headed from the fields to the elevators. Those are a common sight, and sometimes they impede your progress on the roads. They have to be pulled around. It's a wonderful season for us here in the Midwest. Favorite seasons for some revolved around a particular sport or a recreation. For some, it's football season. For some, it's baseball season. Some like summer for the opportunity to go hiking, to go camping. Some like, winter, a few, I guess, because of the skiing. The resorts are open. Some prefer a particular season because of a certain holiday that's observed during that time. Christmas, 4th of July, Easter are special times that people enjoy so much, and sometimes they love the entire season that's associated with that particular holiday. Most everybody has a favorite season or two for one reason or another. Have you ever heard of the convenience season? A convenience season. Because this is what a man in this passage of Scripture mentioned to the Apostle Paul in verse number 25. He mentioned a convenient season. Now, the man that said that, his name was Felix. Felix was the Roman judge for Judea. And he allowed the Apostle Paul to come and speak in his own defense. Paul had been accused by the Jewish elders of being a troublemaker, and he had been held in jail cells, and all Paul had done, you can find that in verse number 5, I won't take time, but it's in chapter 24, verse 5, all Paul had done was give his testimony of salvation to a group of Jewish people, and Paul told how he was saved. And he told how God called him to preach after he was saved, called him to preach the gospel of Christ. And he told how that God sent him to the Jewish people, but by and large, the Jewish people rejected it. And they did not want to hear from the Apostle Paul. And then Paul mentioned to this group he was preaching to that he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. And when he mentioned the word Gentiles, that pushed them over the edge. And I mean, a riot broke out, and they went crazy, and several men took the Apostle Paul away, hauling him away, intending to kill him. Paul had to be rescued by some Roman soldiers. And since that time, he'd been kept in kind of loose custody until the judge could hear his case. And the day finally came when Paul would speak in his own defense before Felix. And we have a record of that here in chapter 24. Now, I want to just break this down for you going through these verses. I want you to see, first of all, that Felix is told of salvation through Jesus Christ. He's told of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible says at the end of verse 24, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That's what Felix heard. Now, whenever Paul had an opportunity to witness concerning the gospel of Christ, he took it. Whether it was to a fellow prisoner when Paul was kept in a jail cell, or whether it was before a Roman official like Felix, Paul was faithful to speak of salvation in Christ. Paul was not ashamed of speaking up for Jesus Christ. He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul boldly spoke of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You ever wondered what, you've heard the term gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel of Christ? Specifically, the gospel of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And did you notice that Paul said in that verse, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was, listen now, the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. People, it takes the power of God to save a person. It takes the power of God. And listen, there is no baptism that has the power to bring salvation to people. No church membership role has the power to bring salvation to people. No string of beads has the power to bring salvation to people. No amount of good works can bring a person that has the power to bring a person to salvation. There is nothing that has the power to bring salvation to a person except for what Jesus did when he died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and then rose from the dead. That is it. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ finished the work necessary for people to be saved. And Paul was not ashamed of that. He was not ashamed to tell that. And when Felix brought Paul in front of him so Paul could speak in his own defense, then Felix was told by Paul about salvation through Christ. People, there is no other way for salvation to come to anybody. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." None other name. And that is speaking about the name of Jesus. So in this story, Felix is told of salvation through Christ. The second thing I want to point out, Felix is told why people need salvation through Christ. He's told why. You see that in verse number 25. Look at it if you have your Bible. "And as he reasoned," this is Paul, "as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." So Paul not only told Felix about salvation in Christ, he told Felix about why people need to be saved through salvation in Christ. And I want you to notice the Bible says that Paul reasoned with Felix. You know, he was not preaching. There were many times when Paul, in a large group of people, would lift up his voice and he would preach aloud the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's standing in front of a judge. And so he's speaking in a normal conversational tone of voice. And as he did, Felix listened. Thank God for that. He was not like some people who refused to hear anything about salvation. You know, how many times I have tried to witness, and you people, you folks that do that, you know what I'm talking about. You try to witness to someone about Christ, and they totally shut the conversation down. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. You could talk to them about their lawn, landscaping. You talk to them about their hobby. Maybe they have a boat sitting in the drive, and they talk about how they enjoy fishing. And buddy, you start talking about salvation in Jesus Christ, and it is just, and they shut down. And what's sad is they're shutting down the greatest story they could ever hear. You know, I have had people get up and walk away. I mean, sitting on a couch in their home, sharing the scripture with them about Christ. They got up, walked away from the conversation. I've been asked by people to leave their porch. Brother Ray, you remember that? Okay. We've been asked to leave their porch. I've had people shut the door while waving, get out of here. And, that doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't enjoy it. Okay. But, what's sad, I think, man, why would at least Felix let Paul speak to him about the salvation that's in Christ? At least he let him speak to him. And so Paul is reasoning with Felix, and he tells him, he speaks to Felix of three subjects. And you find them right there in the Word of God. You see, the first one, he reasoned of righteousness. Now, folks, look at righteousness is what everybody lacks. Everybody. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 says, as it is written, now don't miss this, there is none righteous, no, not one. That word righteous means totally perfect. It means completely right. And nobody is totally perfect. Now, when a child is asked, when a young child is asked if they've ever told a lie, and they shake their heads and say, no. People, what was your reaction? People kind of smile and chuckle a little bit because everybody has lied, and it is understandable when a child who is coming of age says, no, I've never told a lie. But for an older child or a teenager or an adult to say the same thing is not funny. And truth of the matter is, it's unreasonable. Look, Paul may or may not have spoken to Felix about lying. But the bottom line is that no one is righteous because all have sinned. That's the bottom line. Whether it's lying, stealing, disobeying, being selfish, it is our unrighteousness that keeps us out of heaven. It keeps us out of heaven. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came to this earth. He was totally and completely righteous. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, his righteousness is provided for whoever would receive it. See what that means? The unrighteous sinner can receive the righteousness of Christ, which then makes us, amen, heaven bound. It's the greatest thing in the world. Literally the greatest thing in the world. And that's why, I love the opening song today in the morning service. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? You say, well, it was Jesus who died, not God. Oh, he is God. He's God the Son. Hebrews talks about the fact that he was the express image of the Father. Express image. Okay? It was God who died on that cross. It was the Lord Jesus who came and lived, had the blood of God flowing in his veins, went to the cross and gave his life so that you and I who are unrighteous can receive his righteousness. And that's what Paul spoke about to Felix. He spoke to Felix about the fact that, hey, Felix, nobody is righteous. The only one whose righteousness is worthy of eternity in heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what he spoke to Felix about. But that's not all. The Bible goes on to say that he not only reasoned of righteousness, he reasoned of temperance. Now that's a little odd, isn't it? That's unusual. Temperance is self-control. That's what temperance is. Now, why would Paul speak of self-control? Why would he reason with Felix about it? Well, because Felix was there with his wife. You see that in verse number 24, Drusilla. This is historical record. This is not some make-believe. Drusilla was the daughter of King Herod Agrippa the First, and she was the teenaged bride of King Azizus of Emesa. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing all that right. Not really familiar names. Okay, so what's the big deal? Well, Felix seduced this teenage bride away from her husband and took her for his wife. You know what Felix was? He was an immoral man. He lacked self-control in the area of his morals. He was not he was not guilty of telling just a few white lies. How many times have I heard people say, you know what? I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad a sinner. I'm not that bad. I'm a small-time sinner. I guess that's what it means. Well, Felix was no small-time sinner. No, not at all. He was guilty of seduction. He was guilty of immorality. Paul was calling him out for his sin. Felix wasn't just barely a sinner. He was guilty of sin, his sin. And this is the area where Felix had totally messed up. And people, this is what we must understand about ourselves. We are not just barely a sinner in God's eyes. We're not just barely lost. We are altogether lost and apart from God in our sin. You know what James chapter 2 verse 10 says? James chapter 2 verse 10 says, for whosoever, now listen to what God said, shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. That's how God sees it. If we have only broken one of God's commands, we are guilty of breaking them all. You know, Brother Allen mentioned the Bible handout yesterday. I did a Bible handout one time with Brother Netterville here. We were down at the Meadowview Shopping Center, and a man walked up. A man walked up from the neighborhood right across the street there. He said, you're giving away free Bibles. And we said, yes. And I had the opportunity to show him the Bibles we were giving away, and he was looking through it. And so I took the opportunity to start talking to him about salvation in Christ. And I said, hey, do you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? And yeah, I do. For what reason would you go? Would you have a Bible reason for going to heaven? Well, I've done pretty good. I've done pretty good in life. And I'm trying to do good. I've done pretty good. I said, well, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that everybody's a sinner. And he said, well, yeah, but I'm not guilty of the big ones. And then I turned in my New Testament to James chapter 2 and verse 10. And I showed it to him as I read it to him. You should have seen his countenance change. He said, you mean I'm guilty of all? Folks, it's not what we do. It's what we are. Okay. We're sinners. Big sin, small sin, we're sinners. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it's best not to murder, okay? It's best not to be a gangbanger, but we are sinners. By nature. How many times have I said, you know, you take a little duckling down to the water and put it in the water. You don't have to teach it to swim. It swims by nature. You bring a child into this world, that boy or girl is going to grow up and lie, just like you and I did. Nobody taught us. We did it by nature. That's our problem. And when God looks at us, God sees the fact that we are sinners. That's what we must. Look at folks. It did not matter. Hey, it did not matter if Felix was a judge or a dog catcher. He was lost in his sin. And Felix needed to realize his sinful condition. See, here it is, folks. Here's the difference. You know, it's so easy just to, you know, generically say, oh, yeah, everybody does wrong. The problem is, I have sinned. and so have you. That's the deal. All right? That's the bigger deal. It's not that we just generically, you know, accept the fact, yeah, everybody, nobody's perfect. I get it. No, we've sinned against God. And we've broken His laws. We've broken His commands. And God says if you've offended in one point, you know, you're a sinner. You're guilty of all. And that's what Felix, that's what Paul told Felix. He said, Felix, it's not just the fact that everybody's unrighteous. You're unrighteous. You're lost. You're a sinner before God. And then he didn't stop. The third subject he talked about was judgment to come. So he talks to Felix about righteousness. Then he talks to Felix about temperance. And then he talks to Felix about judgment to come. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Did you know that you and I have an appointment? We have an appointment with death. And listen very carefully. I wonder if people don't really fear dying because subconsciously, you know, how few make it to 100? We know life on earth is good. I don't think that's what people fear. I think what people fear is, but after this. But after this. Okay, I know I'm going to leave this world. What happens after death? Judgment. Judgment comes after death when we stand before God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And the death spoken of in that verse is twofold. It's both physical and spiritual. Physical death is when life leaves the body. Spiritual death is when that life is separated from God forever in the lake of fire. People, your relatives, my friends, your friends, my relatives, people that we don't even know but we read about dying, life leaves their body. That life doesn't just float around in the atmospheric heaven. Where does it go? The Bible records two places that are eternal homes of life after we leave this planet. Heaven and hell. And the penalty for sin is death, both physical and spiritual. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, the lake of fire is not some imaginary mental place of punishment that Bible thumpers have dreamed up. No. It's a real place. It's torment. It's fire. It's eternal. And it's a horrible price to pay for our sin. But guess what? We don't have to pay it because Jesus paid it for us. Love the little song we sing once in a while. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And He paid it all through His death, burial, and resurrection. The same verse that says the wages of sin is death also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus made it possible for us to receive the gift of eternal life. He lived righteously so that we unrighteous could receive His righteousness, which makes us fit for eternal life in heaven. That's good news. You know, that's what the gospel means. That's what the word means. Good news. That's great news. I don't have to die and be separated from God forever in that awful place called hell. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know what has to happen with a gift? It has to be received. If I give one of my grandchildren a gift for their birthday, I don't tell them, happy birthday, when you save up enough money, you can pay me back. With 19 grandkids, it is a thought. Poor Brother McDonald, it's more than a thought, it's a reality. You don't hand a kid something for their birthday and say, hey, if you keep your room clean for 3 months, you can keep it. You guys are doomed. Okay. That's not a gift. A gift is, here's your birthday, grandson, granddaughter, I love you. and a gift has to be received. The greatest gift. The greatest gift that's ever been made available to the human being is the gift of eternal life in Christ. But you got to receive it. You got to take it. You got to receive it. So Paul told Felix about salvation in Christ. And then he told Paul, and then he told Felix about why people need salvation. This is why we have a gospel, because people are unrighteous. They're sinners without God. The third thing I want to show you is in verse number 25. Felix trembled. You see that? As Paul was talking to him, now don't miss this. Felix trembled. He shook. Now, whether that was visible or not, maybe it was a shudder on the inside, but Felix trembled. And why wouldn't he? If you're lost without Christ, you leave this world and stand at the judgment before God, and you're condemned to hell. Why would that not make a person tremble? Maybe somebody that's foolish and just laughs it off and ha 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 he he, and the Bible's just a book written by men, the book of fables and da 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 da. You better be careful designating this book as a book of fables. Felix was a judge. We're not talking about a guy who quit school here. He's an educated, learned man with a position of influence and authority in the Roman world empire government. And he trembles. Good for you, Felix. At least you're listening. At least you believe a little bit about what Paul is preaching here. You say, what was wrong with Felix? He was under conviction. He knew Paul was right. But it wasn't just Paul working on Felix. It was the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know that? Well, because of what Jesus said. Listen very carefully, please. John 16:8. Jesus said, when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, now don't miss this, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Does that sound familiar? Sin, righteousness, and judgment? Isn't that what Paul reasoned with Felix about? Righteousness, temperate sin, and judgment? You know who's at work here on Felix? The Spirit of God. He's working on Felix's heart. You know why? Because he's trying to draw Felix to Christ. Look at, God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Nobody. And His Spirit works in the hearts of people through the Word of God and tries to draw that person to Christ. Draw them to Christ. Working on their heart. The word reprove means convince or convict. You say, well, did Paul know about Felix's seducing that little girl? Did he know about that? I don't know if Paul knew about it or not. But God did. And the Spirit of God was working on Felix's heart. This is right. I know it. Yes, this is truth. And it caused him to tremble. The thought of standing before a holy God, lost, unrighteous, made Felix tremble. That's what it says. And here's the last thing. Felix procrastinated. In verse 25, after as he trembled, he says, Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Not now, Paul. No, no, no. Later, when it is convenient. People, listen. The convenient time to get saved is when the Holy Spirit is troubling you and drawing you to the truth. To procrastinate is to gamble with the eternal destiny of your soul. That's a foolish gamble. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But man alive, we're in a service. Somebody's talking to us. Some preacher like Paul is explaining the scriptures, and there's this uneasiness. There's this sinking feeling. There's this, oh my goodness, I am not saved. And that's going on. That's the time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Felix should have humbled himself and said, yes, Paul, I need what you're talking. I need to be saved. But he put him off. And there's no record of Felix ever trusting Christ as his Savior. None. None. You know when the convenient season is? If God troubles a person's heart, man, woman, boy, or girl, if God troubles a person's heart, the Holy Spirit is at work trying to draw a person to Christ. That's the convenient season right then. When I was in Iowa, the folks that have been in church here will remember this story. There were two bachelor brothers, elderly, who lived together, Pete and Bud Smith. Bud was older, in his 80s. Pete was younger a little bit. And Pastor Brown, at some point in time, got to lead Bud Smith to the Lord. And Bud got saved. And Bud passed away. And then Brother Brown had his funeral service. And we would try to, you know, speak to Pete and talk to Pete about his need to be saved. Pete just never had any time for it. And so I remember after the service, after the funeral, I went to the house with Andy Davis, a teenage boy, on a Tuesday morning. And Pete was sitting across just a little living area there, sitting on his couch. We were sitting in a couple chairs on the other side of the room, just a small room. And I said, Pete, you heard Brother Brown's message, and we've talked to you, and Bud's in heaven now. Don't you think it's time for you to be saved? He stood up, walked over to me, and put his chest right down to my face and said, can't you hear that? I said, hear what? He said, that's a pacemaker. I've got 10 years. I've got 10 years. That's what he said. I left that house. Pete didn't listen to a word. Friday, we got a call from the funeral home. Mr. Jones over there. Hey, Pete Smith has passed away. Y'all just did his brother's funeral. Can y'all help us with Pete's service? Wasn't even three days. Say, we're trying to scare us into heaven? Friend, listen. Church member, visitor, boy, girl, man, or woman, it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to scare you, frighten you. I am just telling you what the Bible says about the matter of eternity. And I'm saying this morning, if God's working on your heart and you're not sure of where you're going, this is the convenient season. Not 10 years, not 10 minutes. This is the convenient season. I'm glad you've come today, everybody. October 47 years ago, I sat in a service like this on a Wednesday night, unsaved. What was the preacher preaching? And I knew it. And he gave us an opportunity to come and trust Christ. Man, my hand went up. I stepped out and came to receive Christ as my Savior. That was my convenient season. Is this yours? Is this yours? Now, we're going to bow our heads in just a minute. Not this moment. In just a minute, we're going to have our closing prayer. When I ask you to close your eyes and bow your head for that just a second here, please don't tune me out. Just give me an ear, okay? Because it's going to be very personal for you. That's why we have heads bowed and eyes closed. It's very personal for you. So just give me your ear, even though your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're done. Let's pray now. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word today. Speak to our hearts as only you can, I pray. Okay, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Honestly, before God this morning, God being our witness, how many folks today could say, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know for sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I know that for sure. If you can say that for a Bible reason, be honest about it. Would you slip your hand in the air if you're saved and you know it? All right? Thank you. You may slip your hands down. There were some scattered across the room who could not raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for listening. Now let me ask you. You didn't raise your hand a moment ago, and you say, Pastor Angel, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Can I see your hand? Just slip it up. I'm not sure. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. I'm not sure. In the balcony. God bless you. Back here. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Pastor Angel, I should be honest before God and raise my hand. I'm not sure I'm saved. These others have raised their hands. I should raise mine too. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else. I'm over here. God bless you. All right. Now here's what I want you to do. If you raised your hand just now, you're not sure, would you look at me just for a moment? Just raise your head and look at me. Right where you're sitting, up in the balcony, back here, over here. The most important thing you'll ever do is receive Christ as your Savior. We have men to talk to men, ladies to talk to ladies. And with nobody looking, now is your convenient season. Now's the time. The person sitting next to you will let you out. Just slip out to the aisle. Come right down here. There's a lady that will help you right here. She'll help you right behind you, ma'am. Right here, lady beside you there. She'll talk to you. Would you talk to her about would you come and trust Christ this morning? Would you do that? Come and let her show you how to be saved. Sir, would you come? I'm not trying to make a embarrass you in the balcony. I care about your soul. Would you come just right over here? Let somebody show you how to be saved this morning. It's your season, man. This is it. Would you come? That's right. God bless you. Yep. Good. Come on. Come on. Somebody else. I'm not sure I'm saved. Right here, young lady. Would you like to know how to be saved? All right. Right here. Maybe Mrs. McDonald can speak to you right there. All right. Somebody else. I'm not sure. I'm saved. This is your season. Would you come? Would you come? I'll wait for you. Just a minute, we're going to have the instruments play, have the piano play, have a time of invitation. We're going to stand. Maybe you know what? Yes, this is my convenient season. I need to be saved. Why don't you come while the music is playing? Come to the nearest aisle. Let us show you how to trust Christ as your Savior. It's very simple. I've already preached everything you need to know. Now it's just you receiving it, receiving the gift. Who's here this morning? Say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, I know it was salvation, but God used it in a different way to speak to my heart. Pray for me. I needed to hear what was said this morning. Somebody else, would you lift your God bless you? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music begins. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Would you come this morning? It's your chance. It's your season. Would you come? That's right. Thank you, Tom. Would you come? Maybe somebody will come with you. That'd be wonderful. That's great. That's great. Is this your season? Is this it? Spirit of God's working on your heart? You know you're lost. You need to be saved. Would you come? While we wait this morning. You say, Pastor, this makes me uneasy. This makes me feel a little bit unnerved. It's what happened to Felix. He trembled. Are you saved, sir, in the back? You raised your hand, ma'am. Would you come and trust Christ this morning? Would you let us show you how to be saved? Would you do that? This is not about joining Faith Baptist Church. This is not about being a Baptist. This is just about knowing for sure you're going to heaven someday. Would you come? Let us show you how to be saved this morning. Many are being spoken to. Some are still coming. Would you come? That's right. God bless you. Still got time. If you're not sure that you're saved, we still have time. Would you come? Just a matter of simply saying, this is my season. This is my time. Blessing to see tears this morning. It's the Spirit of God working in hearts. How about you, sir, ma'am? Would you come this morning? I'm not trying to get anything out of you. I'm trying to help you with the most important thing you'll ever do in this life. Trusting Christ as your Savior. That's right. God bless you. We're going to need a couple more adults to talk here. Joe. That's right. Mindy, would you get... Yeah.